The problem we are solving is that we would like to have a youth tournament look like the Champions League finals. That is the problem we are solving, and it may take several years, but we are taking the important steps to reach that goal.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Benjamin Pinker.
So, hi everyone, this is Benjamin from Sports Tech X. Today I have the pleasure to talk to Gudjon from Aus Sports. Aus Sports provides sports leagues and federations with services to elevate the quality of their tournaments, all with the mission to democratize sports, which is a very interesting one in my opinion. But first of all, I want to welcome my guest to the show. Gudjon, hi, how are you?
Very good. Good to be here.
Cool. Yeah, like I said, pleasure to have you here. Very interesting project, very ambitious, very big, a little bit different compared to the other startups that we have there. I mean, not sure if you're a startup anymore because you, I think, have been founded in 2009, but we're going to find out more about that in a second. First of all, I want to speak a little bit about you so that the audience knows who's actually talking here. So why don't you share a few details on what you've done in the past and what you're doing now?
Absolutely. So, yes, I am Gudjon. It's an Icelandic name, if anyone was wondering. It means being the god of gods, but I don't know what my mother and father did have in mind. But for the last 30 years, I've been mostly working outside of Iceland. I started my first company when I was very young at eight. I have no clue why was that. That was like based on fulfilling some need in the market. So I started programming very early on, etc. But you're right. I started this company at the year 2009. And before that, I built up several telecommunication companies, infrastructure companies. Like I was managing one of the largest fiber to the home rollouts, both in the UK market and Ireland. I lived for many years in Silicon Valley. When I moved back from Silicon Valley, I felt it was like time to move back to my home country. That was in the year 1998. At that time, we've been working, building up an internet company for several years, and I felt it was like time to go back to Iceland. So I left Silicon Valley at the same month when Google was founded. but I left it to start an old school telecommunication company in my home country, because I felt there was like not much happening in Iceland at that time. So I started a full service mobile and broadband company. And we brought that company public in just 2 years. Then I left that company, and actually I started then another company on 3G in Iceland as well. My background is very much mixed with building out complex infrastructure, but always on the consumer facing side, B2C. So I've been building companies for now almost 30 years.
Wow. And what I said before, that the current project that you are onto is very ambitious. Seems like this is a pattern of what you do, because it sounds like you've done the one or the other ambitious project before.
Yeah, right. So I enter into the sports industry, from a very different angle. So I basically mix my infrastructure know-how, gaming know-how. I mean, I've been involved with lots of gaming companies. Was very involved with a development of a large multi-user 3D gaming company. So I'm kind of mixing these experiences and bringing that into the sports industry. Yeah, it's a kind of a. I mean, there's such a need in the sports market to look at the infrastructure of sports, because there is just so much that we can save in terms of investments for making the fan experience better. So we are developing technologies to improve the production qualities of the leagues.
Yeah, that's a good connection to the first question I was about to ask about Aus Sports, very much connected to this. So what problem are you actually solving, and how do you solve it is the question. You said it's basically on the infrastructure of the technology side of things, right?
Right. So let me elaborate on this from a little bit different angle, because I am actually a big fan of philosophy around purpose-driven businesses. There's a lot of discussion about, you know, answering the why question and all of that. And there's a lot of discussion about purpose-driven businesses. But a lot of that discussion is about like nonprofit organizations, et cetera, et cetera. But I am a big believer in this philosophy to build a purpose-driven business in a way that it can drive innovation. So basically, our idea and drive is about bringing technologies and experiences that are only available for like the Champions Leagues of the world, like the premium leagues of the world. But we like to bring these technologies and these fan experiences to the long tail of sport leagues, from a youth league, like a women league, etc. So our kind of the problem we are solving is that we would like to have a youth tournament look like the Champions League finals. That is the problem we are solving. And it may take several years, but we are taking the important steps to reach that goal. And in terms of being able to reach that goal, we need to utilize the latest innovation in robotics, AI and machine learning when it comes to analyzing the games in real time, etc. And all to make the technology affordable for the smaller leagues. But then at the same time, when we bring the same technologies to the premium leagues, it means we can just do 10 times more than what they're doing currently. It means more cameras, more interesting highlights, you know, better close-ups, more interesting storytelling, etc., etc. This philosophy is just driven by running a purpose-driven business.
Yeah, understand. I like this way of thinking. Like you said, there are a lot of non-profit organizations out there, but it doesn't mean that there can be also for-profit organizations who can be purpose-driven and do something like you're doing here. And to understand a bit more detailed what you exactly do. So when I scroll through your website, I see basically three areas where you're active, if I'm not mistaken. It's the production side of things, like to capture content. Then the second one would be to distribute the content in an interesting way. And that also probably includes what you just said, like the storytelling, also nice data, I assume. And what I also find very interesting, it includes VAR, video assistant referee technology. So is that the proper way to describe what you do? And you may want to make that available to grassroots sports, basically, right?
Absolutely. So how we approach the problem is, let's say that we start to work with a league and we have already delivered this in the marketplace and we have already done our first season using this equipment. So basically, we bring in what we call the OS Connected Stadium System. The OS Connected Stadium System is something that we just install at each of the stadiums or sport venues. This can be an outside pitch because this is all integrated in secure enclosures that just opens up just before the game starts, and then it closes and locks after the match, and you leave it there as an infrastructure. Remember that I built like mobile communication companies where you need to roll out like 3G and 4G antennas throughout the countries. It's kind of the same with the connected stadiums. We just install our connected stadium system at sport venues, and this connected stadium system has a good deal of processing power. We can leverage that processing power for production. We can enable, as you mentioned, VAR, so we can do the video assisted referee management from these matches. We can use our capability using the computer vision capability in the platform as well. We can do player tracking. We have advanced ball tracking, and we feed in all of this data in real time. So after we have retrofitted your venue, we can do all of these services for almost no cost. I mean, it's an installation that has been done there. And usually we sit down with the federations and with the leagues and we map out like a rollout plan. So we could start on maybe the first three venues and then we add three more, or we take all of the venues from the very beginning and we could utilize just part of the services, or we just go all in utilizing everything from production to global distribution to tracking and even VAR.
Interesting. Especially that you say that it comes at actually almost no cost once it's installed. So the only cost would be like the initial setup with the camera and every system that is needed and probably maintenance, right?
Right. So, in terms of the business model, what we have learned in the last couple of years is that the federations are not really used to owning equipment. I mean, it's just enough for the federations just to deal with the, with the Wi-Fi at the office or the printer config. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we usually take on the installation part. We take on even the installation cost and we integrate the financing into a simple per match fee. So if we start to work with you on making your league awesome for your fans, we would look at the volume of matches. From that framework, we can calculate what would be the cost just to get started. And that cost would be, I claim that cost would just be a small fraction of what you have been paying so far using other methods. So it's a truly a new opportunity. It's just a new way of working for the federations and for the leagues.
I mean, it's probably very tempting if you go to a league and say, hey guys, this is only a fraction of what it would normally cost. Are you in? The big question probably still is it still affordable for this kind of league or tournament? Because I assume they don't have too much money to spend. So you must be able to like really bring it down cost-wise, right?
Absolutely. And at the same time, the league has the best visibility, from the local market about what kind of potential, like domestic business models could be applied. Would this be, a paid service or would this be free for fans, bringing in sponsors? Mm-hmm. Would there be an opportunity to bring in a betting partners to license the matches for the betting companies? Would there be an opportunity to tap into the tracking data to see if the clubs would be interested to chip in by using leveraging some of the real-time data analysis from the player tracking, et cetera. So there are multiple revenue sources in terms of how to finance the deployment. Even a league that would like to start with offering VAR for the Women League, mm-hmm, is an interesting project. They could potentially tap into a funding project from FIFA or UEFA or CONCACAF, et cetera, to go get that funded from FIFA Forward or some of the opportunities that the leagues have. So there are different channels in terms of financing the deployment.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, once a league or the games in a league are professionalized, there are definitely ways to monetize that. And that would be something that you completely leave up for the teams and you're not involved in that part anymore, right?
Well, it just depends on the partner or the customer. I mean, usually we sit down with the customer and we map this out. So we have, our team is quite experienced in working out these different business modeling. And we just launched last week, because of the pandemics, we just launched a new service where we are offering any league out there, like a free feasibility study on what it would cost for them or what could be their business model to upgrade their leagues or managing or even saving cost. I mean, let's say that they have multiple million euros in existing cost, and just by applying new methodologies, there might be maybe 500,000 or million euros that could be saved by using just a different methodology in terms of how you bring the production of these leagues to the fans.
Understand. Cool. And you said you already used it for a bit. Also, maybe a good connector to my next question is what has been the biggest success for you so far? Is it like in these test runs that you have done, or is it maybe something else?
So we started the development of the system in beginning of 2016. It has been a long journey for us. It's been a heavy development. And last year it was rolled out to the market. So we just got the first league deployed, where we produced over 100 matches. And remember that we have zero crew on site. That's something that is very appealing in the current pandemic, the world of the coronavirus. So we usually, when we install our system, we usually install it with from 6 cameras up to 8 cameras, but the system actually supports 24 cameras. This could include like goal cams and all the various different camera angles that makes the storytelling great. The system by standard is all 4K. So that's that's just how we developed the system. And we have just finishing the first leak. We're actually quite proud of it because we deployed that in a very challenging market in Central America, uh-huh. where you have lots of vandalism, usually, and things like that, and very challenging network infrastructure.
So you still have all your cameras?
We only had several incidents where some copper cables were kind of stolen. So we actually did a very needed upgrade following that. And now the system is entirely fiber-based. There's not a single coax cable in our system.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
Cool. Yeah, I like it. With positive things, there always are some challenging ones as well, besides people stealing your copper cables. And you just mentioned that there was some heavy development involved. I would be curious to know what has been the biggest challenge that you faced so far, or maybe because of the current environment you're currently in. And is there something you wish you would have known before you started?
Well, by heart, I am a technology innovator. So that's really what defines me. And my challenges are usually on getting a proper narrative across. It's more like on the sales and marketing side, because I as a CEO of this company, I'm a product and technology CEO. So so the challenges that I faced in the last years have been to simplify our messaging and basically the channel to market is to make sure that we are able to have a good match with what we have to offer to the needs of the leagues and the federations, and without starting complicating matters with advanced innovation and technologies.
Yeah, I mean, so far the narrative is great from what you've told me. For me, it's crystal clear. So at least in this case, you've done a great job, and I hope your sales prospects see the same way.
Thank you. That's because we just have a friendly chat here.
True.
Very good.
The question that I always ask is, and I'm always curious what the answer is. Is there any advice that was given to you where you say, "Hey, this was the best one I've ever heard"? I know this is sometimes a tough question because I don't know, you get a lot of advice or no advice or unuseful advice, but maybe there's something that stuck with you.
Oh, this is a huge question for me. It's a great question. I started my entrepreneurship so early. I was so young, and when I was in my 20s, I had the opportunity to travel around the world with the late Andy Grove, the CEO of Intel, the father of the objectives and key results, the OKR model, and he was a fantastic CEO, a European guy. He gave me so many advices during our travels around just discipline and consistency and things like that. And, I was so lucky to have this opportunity to get to know him. Yeah, I would think most of the advices that I have lived with have somewhat originated from Andy Grove. And I also think that just this philosophy about discipline and consistency. For example, I got an early advice from one of my investors about the importance of always doing like a retrospective after each week of, what is like the top of mind of the CEO. Mm-hmm. So what I've been doing for a long time is that I sent out an email to my board and to all of the employees in the company with my top of mind, with our business metrics, sales pipeline, mm-hmm. top challenges, risk registry. And this is like a ceremony for me. I mean, my wife sometimes asks me, oh, Guion, are you working on this weekly? And then she knows I'm going to, you know, be like in a different zone for like 4 hours. And just to get this consistency, it means that, you know, even our AI team in India or the remote production team we have in Central America, they all know, you know, our camera guys, they know what's on my top of mind. This is something that I don't remember who gave me this advice, but this is a part of my kind of my core framework. And it's an advice that I could give to any other CEO or entrepreneur out there.
Yeah, very interesting. And I think developing habits in general is something useful to do. Might it be in sports or reflecting on what you've done, like you're doing it, or I don't know, so many other things, which goes well with what you said before, with consistency and just keep on doing things. And I especially like the one that you do this weekly. This is credible. And you said you take about 4 hours. Is that, did I hear it right for writing this?
Absolutely. At least 4 hours. Oh. So sometimes I add like bullet points into my weekly during Monday or Tuesday or, you know, Wednesday, etc. So it's a part of my flow. It's a part of my agile flow of running a company.
And I wonder what is the reaction? Do people like answer you, send you emails, mention this weekly update when you meet them somewhere? What's the reaction from them?
Well, I did this trick the other day where I tried to do one trick. I used a mail merge feature where I personalized my weekly, and what happened the day after, it was during the weekend, the guy that is running our canteen, he just came to my home and sat down with me and asked me, so he thought that I was sending him like this huge letter.
Oh.
I didn't really realize. I had to explain that, you know, this was just, you know, during like, I was testing this mail merge feature. So yeah, I get great feedback. You know, sometimes there's a different theme in different months. And sometimes we're doing planning. So we ask the employees to have an opinion if there's something they don't like with our elevator statement or elevator pitch or some of the objectives that are that they feel that we have a low confidence factor for, etc. So sometimes the best ideas, they come from the most surprising, you know, persons in the company.
Yeah, can imagine. Even if it's the head of the canteen showing up at your house, that's great.
Good memory. Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. Let's look a little bit into the future, especially to the next couple of months. So what is coming up for your company? Something specific? I mean, you've done the first deployment. I assume you want to grow. You want to go into more countries and to more leagues. Yeah. What is on top of your head in this point?
Well, top of mind at this very moment is, of course, the situation with the pandemic.
Yeah.
So we are rolling out new versions of our system where we can use it for doing hybrid production. It means that you could have a broadcaster that only has the capability to have maybe, you know, a crew of five or crew of nine at the stadium because of the limitations that the current pandemics have. So then they can leverage our system to add 10 or 20 additional cameras, and they can mix it with their production. So we are rolling out an add-on or like an upgrade. It's just a software update on our system. So we are rolling that out now. We did take our VAR, the video assisted referee module from the connected stadium system, and we moved that into the cloud. And we have just launched a VAR training portal for referees that are now in a lockdown, so they can do full-blown VAR training from their living room.
Cool.
We just launched that last week, and it's been going great. We are talking to referees all over the world. We're talking to some referees in Latin America, in Asia, in Africa, so it's a fantastic development. So as you can hear, I'm very much in the state of mind of helping the industry in the current pandemics. We have a very neat development that we are soon going to be launching on augmenting the Ghost Games, where you can actually log in as a fan from home and you can like transpose yourself into the stadium. So you can be seen in the broadcast, but you are just an avatar from your living room. So, and that's a feature that we are going to be integrating in future versions of the connected stadium system. So it also means bringing more e-gaming experiences into like the world of physical sports. And we have some fantastic investors, like one of the founders of Riot Games is an investor. We have some executives at Tencent that are very big on gaming as well as investors. So there has been a lot of kind of discussions and ideas floating around the investors in the company to bring ideas from e-gaming and how that could be brought into the world of physical sport. And that is actually very appealing for the youth leagues to make the sports more interesting for some of the younger generation.
Yes, it's super interesting. And I think it's almost enough content for making another podcast episode just to explore that topic. But I think it's good that you already early on are thinking in these ways and are opening up to the e-gaming part of things. And I guess it's not a coincidence that your investors are partly coming from that field because they see that you have that openness and I'm sure they're some great advisors in that field, right?
Right.
Cool. And I just wanted to ask one more questions on the VAR training.
Yep.
So how would that work? So let's say I'm not, but I would be a referee. I could just go to your page and say, there's a button. Hey, I'm a referee. I want to do some VAR training. Is that how it works?
Exactly. So I know this sounds kind of crazy for many referees because a starting cost for a league to start with a VAR system starts at like 2 million euros, just the installation cost.
Holy cow.
Yeah, exactly. So we are basically removing that investment entirely. Mm-hmm. And because we have now the VAR feature is just an integrated part in our system. But for the training portal, you can log into the portal, you sign up. It's a very simple subscription service. So it would be your federation that you work for that would be paying the subscription fee for you. Mm-hmm. If you are the referee manager, you could log in as a referee manager. So you could have like a report over all of your referees. You can see how many training hours they have. So they gain points like in like the ELO points in chess or like flight points when learning how to fly an Airbus.
Cool.
And the referees, when they log in, they can pick a clip that is like a challenging incident. And we are always creating more and more clips. Mm-hmm. We have been working with... We have just licensed the clips from FIFA from the last World Cup. These are about 12,000 individual video files that we have that we are creating clips from, training clips.
Cool.
The portal is basically measuring how fast you are to react to incidents. If it was like a yellow card or something else, etc. So the training portal gives you always new incidents and new clips, and it's just like a VAR simulator. It's just like being in a flight simulator, and you can do that from your laptop. If you have an additional screen, you don't need it, but you could have the program feed in a different window, and you could even have a colleague that could log in from their home if they would like to be an assistant VAR, or even like a replay operator. So we can have multiple people working from their homes on the same session. It's a game changer for referees.
I'm going to ask you in, let's say, half a year how many referees participated, because this sounds very promising. I'm very curious.
Well, we just launched this system actually 2 weeks ago. We are just doing the free trial period now with the referees. It's been going great.
So everybody should be fast and sign up to the free trial.
Absolutely.
I might fake that I'm a referee and try it myself.
Absolutely. You're welcome. We have webinars where you can just join in and you can try out the system, and you just sign up from our website at os.com.
Perfect. I got one last question for you, Gudjon, that has been very interesting so far. It's not so related to your company, I assume. What has been your favorite sporting moment so far? So something that you have witnessed live in the stadium or at home?
Oh, there are so many, but well, you are German, but for my English friends, because we have an office in London, I must pick when Iceland won England in the Euros. That was it was such a fantastic moment for me and for us, the friends, because we all did go to that match to see England winning Iceland, because we are a huge fan of England, you know, playing football. And we all expected this. We all expected this to be like 5-0 or something, but then we won. And we were just so pleasantly surprised. It was such a moment for us.
Did you wear a jersey of either Iceland or England, or?
Of course, a jersey for Iceland. Absolutely, painted, in my face and everything.
Perfect. Great. Good job. That's it for today. That was very, very interesting. I've learned a lot, and I think this is very promising. Like I said, I'm going to check in again in a couple months to see how you're doing. But yeah, until then, I wish you all the best for this project.
Great. Likewise. Thank you. It was a fun chat. Thank you very much.
Cool. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yep. Likewise.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Benjamin Pankert. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.